From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Welcome, News OK listeners. We're back. The most delicious podcast on the World Wide Web has returned for a very special Top Chef podcast, the Top Chef Masters podcast. I'm your host, Dave Cathy, the food dude, with Matt Clayton and Daniel Puma. We're a little behind, boys. Welcome. Let's make up for some lost time here. We've got a new season of Top Chef. We've got a little bit different of a format here. We've got chef and restaurant owners competing, not guys going up the ladder desperate to get some sort of break. These people need no break. What do you guys think about the format?
Well, it's a little different. I mean, in the original show, you know, they all compete, you know.
Right.
While this one, it's almost like a tournament in which they pick four.
Right.
They compete and they go on to a Masters, you know, round or the Champions round. And I don't know, it's a little different. You know, it allows for everyone to, you know, you don't get as intimate feeling with every chef. You don't make a connection. Right. But, you know, it makes for interesting scenarios.
It does. And we're seeing, I think, a better quality food. But one key element missing from the show, Matt, you mentioned before.
I miss Padma. new girl, Kelly Choi, is very nice. And she has a lot to say. She seems to have maybe a better understanding of food, maybe. But
she's no Padma.
She's no Padma. it's hard to get past that.
She has no scar. You know, no. She's not tall. And Tom Colicchio he's turned into some sort of like Charlie's Angel character, where he sort of pops up from time to time to say, you know, Hubert Keller, yes, he has long white hair.
He cooks pasta in the sink, yes, he's very good.
You know, something like that. He's like from a video game or something. But so he's a part of the show, but we don't know. He must have just filmed them all at once. So what the format is, that what is it, six? How many chefs did they eliminate? Is it just, it's four, right? Yeah, four, and then there's one winner. The winner advances. The first week we did have Hubert Keller, where he was draining pasta in a dorm shower, because the challenge was to cook a gourmet meal in a dorm room. That was a great highlight from the first week. And as soon as I saw him on that show, I was like, this is over. These guys have no shot at all. And then last week, I thought, Wiley Dufresne was involved in that one. And I thought, oh, you know, this is the guy. He's the king. And all he really proved is that he curses as well as anybody.
He may curse more than I do, and that's saying quite a bit, actually.
Well, just acting like a normal restaurant chef. It wasn't really anything out of the ordinary about it.
He was actually bringing a sense of reality to this non-reality show. So,
I mean, he kept the words pretty simple. It was the one four-letter word over and over again.
That's right.
So, I mean,
he kept it simple.
Right. Yeah.
You know, in seasonal, because that word's always in season. So, yeah, but unfortunately, Wiley wasn't able to defeat Suzanne Tracht. She came away the winner. I can't remember. Was she from L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
And she cooked very simple, very homey type foods. She didn't seem like the type of person that was going to be able to stand up to the kind of challenges they were doing, because she seemed, well, okay, and very slow and calm. Maybe that's the key.
Well, she almost didn't even win. Yeah, I thought, you know, well, Wiley completely bombed the quickfire.
Right.
But I think he had the best overall dinner, and he almost came back and
he did.
And won
he
it.
Did. But she barely held him off. But it was a good show. And I don't know about you guys, but I was sort of, up until last night, I was sort of, I've been liking the show, but I've been thinking I'm not getting the same excitement that I feel every week when the show comes on, because it's like you said, you know, you don't have that sense of connection with these people, other than that they're a celebrity, and you sort of root for these for the other competitors to get their chance. But last night I kind of got how it works, because we had our hometown guy Rick Bayless on there, and so it becomes like a whole nother, I'm sure with these other chefs that are from the cities they're in, the people there are just as excited as I was last night, because I really didn't think our man would have much of a chance, since he's so specific in what he does. In case you don't know, he does Mexican food. He was born and raised here in Oklahoma City, went to Northwest Class in high school, but he's made his fame at cooking Mexican food on PBS and in a couple of restaurants up in Chicago. So, but last night, I got to say, I was rooting for him like he was one of my fantasy players, or you know, one of my favorite teams or something like that.
I think it's something that when you can say that I don't think any of us have met him or been to his restaurants, but I think to look back and see somebody that has grown up here and is able to go on and compete on this type of show at this level,
the very highest level.
I think something else is, I think we for one episode, we found our Stefan. We found
Ludo.
I've been working on my French accent, but I don't really feel ready to do it. Whenever you can't cook a quesadilla.
Yes, we did learn last night that the French did not put the quesa in quesadilla. That was a disaster. Now, the quick fire challenge I had was one thing that's been kind of fun about the show is they have gone back to some of the old, they've used all the old challenges, and a lot of these people have judged on the show, including Wiley and Rick and a number of these others and Hubert. So it's been kind of fun to see the tables turned on them. And so this was the color challenge, and you know, Daniel and I were talking earlier, and Rick, as much as I was rooting for him, I did really almost feel like it was fixed because the stuff really fell his way. The color he drew was green, which in Mexican food they have a little green. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what he would have done with orange. That would have been a true challenge for this. He almost laughed. Mm-hmm. It was sort of
right.
And so he made some green mole, and it was really good, and they all loved him. So that was great. But the big challenge, the elimination challenge, or I guess it's not really an elimination challenge. It's because the way this works is there's a scoring that they do, and the person with the most points at the end wins. The second challenge, I guess, was creating street food at was it Universal Studios?
Yeah. Surprised Conan didn't show up.
And that would have been a nice touch. It's NBC too.
Exactly. So. Plus, I think he's contractually obligated to say Universal Studios every show. That's right. A whole other podcast.
But. That's right. But so they had to make street food for patrons there. And what was interesting about it, I think, going in is they thought, okay, we're going to have a stand in the park, and people will show up, and I'm going to have to, you know, really hawk what I'm selling here, because they were using offal, which is basically it's the stuff you throw away. Hearts and kidneys and
tripe and
tongue, yeah, and all that kind of stuff. So as it turns out, no, the people were waiting at a gate for it to open and then immediately flock to each individual booth. So they not only had to be ready to go, but like massively ready to go. It was not your typical situation. So Rick, they drew knives and he got tongue, which sounds horrible and sounds very challenging. But for anybody who's ever cooked any Mexican food or even eaten any Mexican food, you know that lengua is very common. You can find it at about 85 different places here in Oklahoma City, and they're all Mexican restaurants. So this was really beyond up Rick's alley. It was almost like, we want you to win here. We're going to make this as easy as possible. And he, again, sort of like, oh.
I guess I should do a taco.
Yeah. And then Ludo, of course, when they're at Whole Foods, Rick has stolen my idea.
Yeah.
You know,
all of a sudden, Rick Bayless became a Hispanic cook. It's like, I've never done a taco before. I'm going to do a taco.
Yeah. Ludo asked him about what kind of cheese he should use for the quesadilla because he doesn't know how to make a quesadilla. And Ludo had some inkling that because he asked this question, Rick immediately got the idea from that question that maybe a taco would be good with tongue. But no, Ludo proved to be not only French and arrogant, but deluded. So maybe it's Deludo.
And slow.
And the extreme slow. Yeah, that seemed to be the problem with his quesadilla. He couldn't seem to quite get it all put together. He kept talking about how he always had four guys doing his work for him. Well, maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And you seem to I guess that's my only problem with some of the folks that have been on the show so far is, in the culinary world, you come across some of these folks who, I don't own a microwave. And listen, I would love to live where I don't own a microwave, but I live in the real world. I live in a world where I have 5 minutes to cook for my daughter, so I'm going to put something in the
that's
microwave.
Right.
But,
well,
that's the kind of thing that I've been kind of torn on this show. It's really started to grow on me, but when it first started, you know, what I wanted to see was top chefs making food that I couldn't even dream of. And,
right.
In some Alice in Wonderland type situation, you know, I wanted to see something, you know, that really knocked me off my socks, and you know, they've really changed the show and made it a situation,
right.
You know, little more, you know, down to earth, mm-hmm. but they still have to make amazing food. And that part's really grown on me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, it would have gotten dull if they would have just shown up and made spectacular vertical foods every single show. It would have been like, okay, who can make the Leaning Tower of Pisa this week with an asparagus or something? But no, they have sort of brought them down to earth and given us some people to root for. What was the guy, Matt, Roy Yamaguchi, mm-hmm. was that his name? Yeah, yeah, we're road tripping to Chicago.
Yeah.
This guy, when he gets the challenge of the vending machine challenge in episode two, he's like, yes!
Guys like that, Tim Love, who's out of Fort Worth in Dallas.
Yeah, that was great.
I mean, it's hard not to root for regular chefs, for lack of a better term. You know, I guess that's one thing I just can't get over is
Ludo, who's so full of himself.
Right, exactly.
And believe me, I have huge respect for Hubert Keller, and he'll probably win the whole thing.
Right.
But when he says, I never go to the grocery store. I always send someone to shop for me.
You've never been to it.
You've never been.
He's lying.
He's totally lying. See, I never shop at the grocery store. I always send someone to do this. I'm thinking, sign me up for that kind of gig.
I think my other big complaint about the show so far is, to be honest, is the judges. I find I know they're critics, and I know that it's probably easier for the critics to criticize the chefs rather than having other chefs.
Yeah, that would not work at all. Although it works, it's fine for them to criticize these guys with no
Don't
name.
Don't tell me how to cook. There it was. There.
Yeah, but we have Gail Green, Jay Rayner, and James Osland, and. Gail is just the strange lady with the hat. Jay is the dog-faced guy with the British accent. And then Osland's the guy who purses his lips so far he almost looks like he's going to explode like a platypus or something like that. His lips just reach out like they're gonna suction onto the screen. Calm down, dude.
One thing I do like about it is that it's actually all about the cooking, not as opposed to some of the other seasons. That
there's no drama,
right? Backstabbing. It's none of that. I mean,
especially last season when they sort of slipped into that with the whole romance thing. The show actually came up to the ramp with that,
right?
And kind of made a run up it, but then slipped back down. The shark is still circling out there waiting for it.
I think Stefan
didn't quite make it.
Actually saved last season. Because, you know, the first couple episodes you get, man, I don't like that guy. And after about week 14, I'm like, you know, I'm just really a lot like him. Maybe that's why I don't like him that much. So, except I don't have as cool of an accent.
Or as cool a t-shirt.
That's true. I'm working on my t-shirt collection.
But yeah, so the big news right now is, of course, we got our guy through. And so the three that have won will meet with the next three winners. And I don't know after that. I don't know if they'll just be one big show or two shows or what. But our guy got through. So, you know, I don't think Skip Bayless is going to be getting top right masters, anything like that.
Top columnists.
Does he have a column anymore?
No.
He's just a contrarian, just a professional contrarian now. So
next week looks interesting with John Bash, from New Orleans.
Yeah,
I mean, he's been on Top Chef quite several times.
Also almost became next Iron Chef.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So he's really, I think he has a huge advantage because he gets the whole scenario. Because hasn't he been on Iron Chef America as well?
Yeah, he's been on there a couple
so
times.
So he knows how to do the TV thing, which is a huge adjustment for a lot of these guys, I feel like. Especially that poor Cindy Paulson last night, the older chef. She just seemed completely – she couldn't get
you
the
pressure
cooker.
You want me to do something in 30 minutes?
Talk about somebody who hasn't really gotten their hands dirty in a while. It looked like that was clearly
the
case.
And her dish, it seems like the simplicity of it, not that I could make it, but the simplicity of using the ingredient that way, but the lack of – from what they said, seasoning.
She had tripe and she made menudo, which is a natural. I think what it came down to with her is that she was a little bit frazzled. And maybe that's where the seasoning fell off because she just thought, I'm going to just put all this stuff together and be done with it. And like I said, her hands were so shaky she couldn't get the pressure cooker to close at one point. And Rick had to help her.
It looked like Rick had a lot of time because
he really did.
He helped Ludo and then he helped...
Yeah, Ludo. Yeah, this guy kids. I'm going to win. He had to have help on every single thing that he did.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. So, anyway, the show is Top Chef Masters, and we will be keeping an eye on it and reporting on it on Thursday mornings after the show. So, hang with us.